Well, sometimes things happen in your life that you would rather trade off for a better experience. And there's times that you face disappointments because your schedule is interrupted. And this last Christmas, if those of you don't know what happened in our household, it was just Martha and me, and we didn't have really any plans for Christmas. But Shaggy, our dog, decided to have other plans, and it wasn't long we knew that he was in big distress, and we had to find the emergency hospital. We found one over in Springfield, and we went over there, and his little bladder was just about to burst, and he's just been 2 weeks out of bladder surgery, his third surgery. So we were really worried and concerned about him, and you know, you have to take every opportunity for witnessing. That wasn't on my mind. My mind was on making sure my little boy was taken care of. But God takes care of us in many different ways. And after our vet, our doctor, very professional, very caring, was able to explain everything in detail, what was going on. And he took care of him, got him all relieved, and I got my little happy little fluff ball back. I noticed something on his, half covered by his sleeve, and it was written in Hebrew. He probably doesn't have too many people recognize what Hebrew looks like. I couldn't read it, but I understood it was Hebrew. And he looked at me, and he said one was had to do with, in Genesis, about Rachel, and one had to do with, in Esther, if I die, I die. And he says basically it is a constant reminder to him to always do your absolute best, because you never know when God might put you in a position where you are called on for somebody else. He and I had church that day. My little boy was taken care of. And he said, just a minute, I'll be right back. And he went and got this little wooden cross made of olive wood. And he said, this is from the Holy Land. He says, I want you to have it. And it meant so much to me because he was ministering to me as much as I normally minister to somebody else. And it was just a wonderful blessing. Well, Ray Stevens, remember Ray Stevens? He had a popular song and a catchy phrase. Everything is beautiful in its own way. In the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, God has made everything beautiful in its time, or his time, depending on the version that you read. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. In his time, in the context of eternity. So I'm entitling this message as Time, Transition, and Seasons. With that in mind, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles with me to a very familiar phrase, a very familiar verse. It is the most simple yet endearing promises of the entire Bible. John Bob, I know you know this one by heart. It's found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. This was mentioned by one author as a soft pillow for the tired head. A soft pillow for the tired head. As we're coming out of Christmas, getting ready for the new year, we're reflecting on the last year. We're in this period right now, but we're looking forward. So we're looking at this time of eternity past, where we are right now, and where we're going in the future. And you think, how in the world do you make this verse match the time and the transition and the seasons? I think by saying this as a soft pillow for the head, for a tired head, I think he was meaning it is very easy. This verse is very easy to understand. There are very short words. Look at it. And we know that in all things, God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Most of these words in this verse are one-syllable words. Anybody can understand it. It is most easily memorized. And we have used it over and over and over, sometimes out of context, sometimes in a moment of grief where the person that just lost somebody doesn't want to hear that. So let's go ahead and take this apart and see exactly the context of eternity, what God is talking about here. There is much simplicity in this verse, yet it packs a powerful, powerful promise or promises to the believer. I'm reading it from the New International Version. I think it has a little bit more accurate interpretation from the original language. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. This verse, and we quote it many, many times, is the foundation stone of the very workings of your destiny and mine. It is both the birthmark and the epitaph. The birthmark of our faith. From our very beginning, this should be one of the cornerstones that we hang our hat on. And if you live a very faithful, holy, sanctified life, it will also be your epitaph. Well, what people will remember you by. So let's take a look at this. There are at least four promises found in this verse. First of all, these are definite promises. And we know. What do we know? What do we know? Do you know this phrase, and we know, is found five times in the book of Romans? Five times. In Romans 2, verse 2, it says, we know that God is just. In Romans 5, 3, it says, we know that suffering produces endurance. Romans 6, 6 says, we know that our old self was crucified. We know this. Romans 6, 9 says, we know that Christ will never die again. Once is all it took. Every drop of blood that was shed, every drop gives us our salvation. That's no small feat. He didn't have to die again. He won't have to die again. He won't die again. Once and done. And of course, Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt the hand of God will be used divinely by the Lord to show his glory, but to work out our ultimate blessings. This is a promise and the final eternal will of God. Did you think about it that way? That all things will work together for good who love him and are called according to his purpose. We know this. That is God's will for our lives as believers. Now you need the blower, those things. You need to just, you know, amen. Come on, amen. Amen. Yeah, there you go. Now there's some things that we know and there's some things that we don't know. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. We know this about God. But what does it say about us? Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our what? Weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with what? Groans that words cannot express. Have you ever been to that point Have you ever been to that point when you don't know what to say to God? You have no idea. What kind of situation might that be? I like to be in control at all times. I know what to say. I know when to say it. And I don't like to be put in a position where I don't know what to say. But I have been in that position. Where I've been face down, prone on the floor, and I'm yelling at God, I'm praying to God, and I don't know what to say because I blew it. I have made decisions in my life that I'm not proud of. And my whole life came apart. It came tumbling down. And it could be the very same way when a good friend of mine here just a few days ago was hit broadside at 70 miles an hour by a guy who ran a stoplight. Busted his jaw, it's wired shut, busted ribs. His whole pelvic region has to be completely reconstructed. And he had his elderly dad in the passenger seat who was not harmed, thank goodness. Sometimes things happen. I have a good friend of mine who to this day asked God. He said, I don't have any words anymore. I was raised by my grandmother. She was murdered. And to this day, it's an unsolved mystery. Why? And just a few years ago, his only daughter was killed, murdered. What do you say to these people? How do you pray? How do you tell them that God has the answers? That God has your best intentions at heart? And he can work this to good. There's sometimes the groans, what you want to say and what you cannot put it into words. And as a believer, that's the key. If we're a believer, the Spirit gives intercession for us. The Spirit of God gives us intercessions. In verse 20, it says, we know because God is in control. Ultimately, even though he gives no details. It is interesting, comparing verse 26 with verse 28, that we are certain about the ultimate, that God's going to take care of us in the future, but we are most uncertain about the immediate. I want to know how you're going to do this, God. I want to know the procedure. I know you're going to take care of me, but can you give me some details? And there's also a definitive promise in this verse. What is that where it says, and we know that in all things, does all mean all? There are no limits to God. No limits. This is the biggest little word in that entire verse. All means alls. Always. All the time. There are no exceptions. There are no excuses. And there's no exemptions. God? You ever find an expiration date? Throw it out. I can't use it. This all business, God has no expiration date on that. None. It's good through eternity. Well, maybe, wait a minute. It's good only if you have a double letter in your last name. Or the fifth Sunday in the second month on leap year. That's not right either. All means all. What if I have a premium pass? Can I get to go to the head of the line? I don't have to wait like everybody else. Mm-mm. All these things, good, bad, terrible, horrible, tragic, the disappointments, the headaches, the joys and all. God takes all of these raw materials, and if you are a believer, can mix them all up and make the most delightful, delicious life you have ever seen. Do you remember Joni Erickson Tada? Remember the story that she had? And I remember reading But she was strapped down in her gurney in the bed or whatever, and she could not move. She could just look. That's it. And as she's turned, and then turned again and turned again, going over what is she going to do with her life. And look at the witness she has had all around the world. Or the artist who is a quadriplegic, who paints beautiful pictures with a paintbrush in her mouth. One of the things that really impressed upon me big time was when I was a student at Asbury, and I was very young. I hadn't been doing very many visitations, and a bunch of us got together, and we wanted to go to the VA hospital in Lexington. I was not prepared for that, as the Vietnam vets were coming home, landing in the hospitals. They were bitter, and they had all these questions, and I had no answers. But now we're talking about the divine promise. The divine promise. He works together for good. How can he do this? How can he do this? This word in the Greek is synergeto, is where we get our word synergism. Do you know what synergism is? I'm going to confuse you here because I had to look at it and then I had to have somebody explain it to me. Synergism is this, it's a working together of various elements to produce an effect that is greater than, often completely different from, the sum of each element acting separately. You got that? You guys who work out the gym, you'll understand this. You've got a muscle. You've got a group of muscles. And you're really working those muscles, right? Those muscles working together produces a great effect than the one of those muscles working by itself. That word means working together. And God saying that is that we have a helper working on our behalf at all times. All times. We just had Christmas. Who had Christmas cookies? Who had Christmas cake? Brownies. All the goodie stuff, right? I don't know if anybody has any left, because anybody that brought something to my house, they're not there anymore. Nothing. It's all gone. It was delicious. Have you ever decided to go ahead and taste the ingredients one at a time? Have you ever tasted flour by itself? Have you ever tasted baking soda or baking powder by itself? Nasty. Even the semi-sweet chocolate is bitter by itself. But you take somebody that knows what they're doing in the kitchen, or a heavenly kitchen, and he can take all of this nasty stuff that we go through, all the mistakes that we have made, all the people running lights, maybe the accidents that have happened, the cancers, the diseases that we have. He can take all of that, and as a believer, he says, you know what? I can mix it all up. And it will come out beautifully just for you. He does this together for good. He is our helping hand. He is our fellow companion. He takes our mixed up mess, not knowing what to do, what direction to go, how to pray, how to move, and together he works it for our good. Why? Because God is good. And his character is goodness. His core is goodness. He can't do anything bad for his children. It is impossible. Impossible. He works for us. And he brings honor to his name. The one I left out, I probably shouldn't. You ever tasted a raw egg? But mixed in a lot of different things, it comes out just beautifully. What about salt? You ever think about salt? We are supposed to be the salt of the earth, right? If we don't salt our French fries, they taste a little bland. But if you take the ingredients of salt by themselves, which is what? Sodium and chloride. Aren't those two poisons by themselves? But together, they make a beautiful flavor. And that's what God does. He takes us to be the salt. He flavors everything with us. The tragedies and the trials are neither desirable nor are they delicious. But God. But God. Which comes to another part of this verse, which is a defined promise. So, is this promise to everybody? It isn't. I wish it was. I wish I could pray God into every life and have all the trouble they have gone through and have it come out for their good. But we say God is good and he loves us unconditionally. That's what John 3:16 is all about. But people don't love God back. So this verse has conditions on it. Has conditions. To those who love God, and part B of that, and are called according to his purpose. To those who love God. This is a fraternity pin. That means you belong. You belong in the household of faith. You belong to this church. You belong to Jesus Christ as his brother, as co-heir of God, where you can go in the most intimate way and say, Abba, Father. My beloved Father. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. This Romans 8:28 is for those who love God only. However, God takes it further and says, and are called according to his purpose. Now, this is not an either or part. This is part of the same coin. You know, the early Christians were known as God lovers. What religion are you, Pastor Ron? God lover. I'm a God lover too. That's the first requirement, to be a God lover. The second part of that is to be called according to his purpose. Now, what does that mean? One side is we are God lovers. That's our perspective. God's perspective is that we are called according to his purpose, his perspective. Same coin. And for those of you who are wondering, this is a challenge coin for veterans that I keep and I give to each one of my veteran friends. It's a fraternity. It's something that says, we belong. Maybe Christians should have one of those. We belong. I love God, and I'm called according to his purpose. I'm a God lover, plus I am called by God. We cannot expect God to work out everything for good to those who do not love him and are not called to follow him. He loves them, but they do not love him. In Romans 8:28, the concept of time, transitions, and season is implied through the idea that God works all things together for good, meaning that even difficult, challenging times in our life, that can be an understatement for sure. This can be a part of a larger, broader, eternal plan that ultimately leads to positive outcomes, eternal outcomes, blessings, which is a transition from hardship to growth and transformation. How in the world am I going to go through all these things? How can I figure it out? But you trust God. And through that process is a transition. Through that process, you will start to develop, in my 7 decades of past experience, that he transforms those tough times into something beautiful, something delicious, and something I'm very, very thankful for. So instead of focusing on the current hardships, give credit to God. Trust him. No matter our stage of life, young or old, his promises hold true for all of us. And this narrow road is still the right road. So in closing, Joseph told his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended to do for my good." Jeremiah, speaking for God, said, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." May God be glorified in the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your leading and your teaching this morning through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. And thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Amen.